everybody, and welcome back to Writing the Rapids, the show where I, Joe Bilecki, talk to writers about writing. Very often those writers have been recommended to me by writers who have previously been on the show, or it's a rejoinder episode where someone just has been on before and comes back, which this is. Graham Ervin returns. He lives in Philadelphia. His writing can be found at HAD, Apocalypse Confidential, Joyland, The Nervous Breakdown, Misery Tourism, and or Hobart. He's the author of Liver Mush and I Have a Gun. I Have a Gun is the book we will be spending the bulk of our conversation talking about today. It is through Rejection Letters Press. If you would like to help out the show, you can do so in, let's say, three different ways. You can join my Patreon, patreon.com/noisemakerjoe, and for just $2 a month, you can get these shows about a day earlier than everybody else. You can also buy my book. It's called Tired. It's out through Alien Buddha Press. It's on Amazon. It's very good. An excerpt of it recently appeared in the anthology book Unheimlich through Soyos Press. And then the third way is you can just give this show 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Feeds the algorithm, keeps everybody happy. Now, without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Graham. The theme in your book length works is kind of that you pick a subject and iterate Liver Mush and then guns, which I really like. I like in music really repetitive music, and I like the idea in literature of repetition. I feel like I don't see it a lot, at least among our peers. I don't feel like I see a lot of like variations on a theme, so I really appreciate that. Seems like this may be kind of an obvious question, but I guess without the necessary context, we don't have a good foundation to stand on. So how did you decide that you were going to iterate on the theme of firearms for this book?
I think it came up as just maybe a thing in like my personal life a couple years ago, as just like the most extreme example of something to say in like a social setting or whatever. And I had done some writing about it back then, been like 2017 or 2018 or something like that. I hadn't published a lot at that point, or if I had, it'd been like single one-off things. And then I wrote Liver Mush, and then while working on like another thing, having a little bit better idea of like what to write, it seemed like that the emotional resonance of that was still there. Of like, I think that it represented some kind of like inner anger or inner aggression, or like, you know, it just felt like a good image for putting like the worst part of myself out into the world, and then going from there, trying to make that thing that people would still find endearing, or a reader would still find endearing.
Yeah. Our collective animals are going crazy. I love it.
Can you hear my cats?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh my goodness. And I can tell that mine can be heard. I like it. This is punk. This is the DIY aesthetic. This is
the
this is live, yeah. TV, baby. And in fact, I'm gonna go ahead and text my wife and tell her not to worry about it. But
we're gonna keep in track.
I like the I kind of like where that's coming from. There was a like a video essay about some anime or something where somebody brought up how like every once in a while you'll go to a party and somebody who's there who you like kind of know will be talking to you, and then will just drop like, hey, just so you know, I have a gun.
Just like the worst like learning a little bit about somebody and then getting hit with that extra information.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And because it can go either way, but the result I think is always the same. Cause it could be like, hey, I'm badass. And you know, don't mess with me. Or it could be like, hey, if anything goes down, just so you know, I'm going to be safe. Well,
we're good.
It'll be okay. You should feel better knowing that I have a gun here.
Yeah.
And for me, suburban white boy, there is no situation in which knowing someone has a gun makes me feel better.
Yeah. I think in the situations, specifically outside of like the like specific, like maybe like I never use the word use case, but I've heard that used. My girlfriend works on in like accounting and has like, you know, like the Zoom job. So like I hear use case. I know a little bit about that. It's funny to think about the use case of a gun is very seems like slamming those two worlds together. Hunting or sport or something like that. It's like that makes sense to me for like having a gun, you know. That makes sense for like why that it would be fun to, you know, do something like that. But then, yeah, just being like, well, if I don't have this, you know, Walmart might be too scary or something like that. That always seems like, I don't know, maybe that's like an internal struggle you're having and not like the world at large being a problem.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me into the next thing I wanted to talk about is throughout the book, it's trying to decide what gun is a metaphor for. And it can shift and whatever, because it can also just be literal too, I think. But I don't know, like, in so many of these pieces, it seems like gun is a stand-in for, like, masculinity as a whole. I've been thinking so much, I mean, anyone who's a frequent listener knows that, like, for whatever reason, gender politics has been on my mind for the past like 2 years. But like the idea of tying masculinity in with control and having a gun, I think kind of like symbolically makes you feel in control, even though they're such unpredictable machines, it seems like, right? Like how many times as teenagers did we go on E-Bomb's World and see a police officer shooting themselves in the leg during a firearm safety demonstration at a school or something? Like if I had a dollar, man. And I think that works perfectly too, right? Because the control that like insecure men feel like they're exerting is really just making a situation more chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it also is like kind of, you know, it still is like, yeah, it's like a wanting something external, like outside of yourself, that you can just hold and that makes you okay, makes everything feel like, well, I got this because I don't even have to do anything inside. I just have this, and all I have to do is just kind of. It's like a, you know, it's like a, I don't know,
it's a security blanket, yeah.
Security blanket, yeah, like a magic spell, an invisibility cloak, but also like a cloak that makes like people see you and maybe like you more or like disengage with you in a certain way that you don't like. But it's also like, yeah, with that, you still have to have like some kind of, you're going with the metaphor, I guess, like, it's still better to have like, to not be afraid to like use the gun in the wrong situation, to not, to still control, your anxieties or like your sense of judgment in the sense of like a police officer shooting someone who is, or anybody, you know, in, you know, like, It in all of those situations, it seems it's always like somebody like making a rash decision. A cop specifically shooting somebody. It's always like a you know, you're just like, you watch those videos, not the e-bombs worlds.
No.
The more upsetting, where you can kind of be like, you know, why did that have to happen? Like, why did that choice come up? So it always seems like, yeah, it's this external thing where it's like, well, I'm safe. But, you know, if you had like done a little bit of internal work, maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit too in the weeds about reality versus.
Perhaps. Yeah. No, it reminds me of, there's the type of guy who makes a big deal about like, I'd do anything for my wife. I'd protect my family. And it's always like, I need to prove that so bad that I'm going to put my family in situations where I would need to protect them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Well, you know, you wouldn't have to, right? There's, you know, for so many people, it's the doing over the being. You can't just be, you have to like constantly show, you have to constantly like prove. But if you're like not in a situation, you know, I live in a very safe place. I at no point need to prove that I would protect my family at all costs. I'd do my best, but I never need to prove that. So, you know, kind of moving on to the next point of that is that it's interesting how the text interrogates the reader and itself. You know, there's the bit about like shooting the pedophile, and it's like, well, you said that I should do this. You're okay with this. You're okay with me shooting this person. And you know, as we get toward the end of the book, the book is like, is this funny anymore? Like, was this ever funny? What is going on with this book that I am? I'm a big fan of the metatextual man, and I like that it cropped up here where I didn't expect it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm also a big fan of that. You know, and I think, I don't know if that is a thing where it's like you know, I think that I like writing things like that. Maybe a topic like this, to me, it felt like, in the same, it felt like, for me to present this idea, for me to like talk about, you know, guns for this long, there needed to be a little bit of like humor, or just a little bit of like lightheartedness to like push it along and not be extremely heavy, or to be a bit preachy and like didactic and all that kind of stuff. I don't like the idea of, I don't like the idea of saying, you know, immediately showing my hand as far as like my opinion about something, or like what I feel, because this is, you know, unlike, you know, a thing like Liver Mush, it's not like it there is a take, you know, there is an ongoing topic in the real world. So like it was a way of like talking about it without, for longer, without having to like say one thing and kind of limit what I could say about it afterwards. But then after doing that for, you know, the majority of the book, it's like, well, there has to be like, yeah, like, you know, there should be some real stuff.
Yeah.
But then that's also, so like the real stuff is in the context of the bigger, larger world, but then that also has to be in the context of the book that you're reading, you know? So it's like, you know, it has to be like both conversations at once, you know?
Right.
Like, I guess, yeah, the forces it to be like the metatextual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the gun is a great object for that too, because it's so cartoonish in so many ways, but also, you know, a very serious cultural object too. You know, like it's amazing. I remember I got in trouble one time as a small kid. I had there's some Star Wars game where there was like a screen built into the back of Darth Vader's head, and it was like a one bit, and you had a little light gun, and you shoot at the screen, and 4 seconds later it says you've lost. But the gun shooting made a sort of, not really gun sound, I guess kind of like a very compressed laser gun sound that to me sounded like just like a spritz of whatever, right? So I would sometimes pretend that, you know, in cartoons, this is like not a thing that exists anymore, but it was like a breath freshening thing that exists in cartoons where it's like a little glass ball and a little like
Seltzer.
Sometimes I'd walk around doing that into my mouth with the gun, right? Because I'm like, you know, I'm not thinking to myself gun plus mouth. I'm thinking this is a stand-in. But I don't know, like my mom saw me do that and I was like 4 or 5 or whatever, and she was like, this toy is going away. No more of this. Like, your games of pretend will no longer have violence of any kind. And I like didn't understand and try, you know, when you try to explain, nobody wants to hear it. So it was a thing for a while. And now, like, you know, as an adult, nominally, I kind of get it. I kind of get the shock of like seeing that image of a small child with a toy gun in their mouth.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, I don't know. Like I thought about that a lot while reading this book, because that's the gun as a thing is so interesting. Because it can, how lighthearted it is versus how very, very serious it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, I talked to, Sabrina and Derek yesterday, for like self-exposure. I don't know if that's going to date this, but asked if, like, how did I choose which, you know, like real stories or whatever to use in it, or whatever, the ones that are like, I guess, the things that feel more like autofiction, I guess, in the book. And I, you know, you saying that, I don't, you know, I had, like, you know, first person shooter video games, and I played, like paintball and like laser tag and all that kind of stuff. But like those never came to mind when writing the book. And like it obviously is a big part of the conversation. That's interesting, like how that goes into it. Cause like I don't know, yeah, because it is, I mean it's that is in itself, like you see a toy gun or those air rifle things with the little plastic people. Those look like, you know, real things. Like it'd be very easy to make that look like a real gun. I don't know. That's I don't have a point for that other than just being like, it's funny that while thinking about it, I was just like, that's not as, and not saying what you say is not interesting, but that, like, to me, I was like, well, that doesn't, like, that seems to be outside the point, even though it is definitely part of the point.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, no, because the book definitely deals with real guns. And yeah, I don't know, maybe it's because I was so nerdy as a kid and so very suburban that, like, I feel like the first time I saw a gun in real life, not on, you know, a police officer or a soldier, was like in a Chipotle in like my late teens or early 20s, and it was just some guy open carrying some handgun at a Chipotle, like not even anywhere near the bad part of town, right? Like, I don't know, we have like one area of town where I suppose At least the news always is like, the Southwest side had another shooting today. And it's always when nothing else is happening in the news. And it's like, what is... It was so... I mean, I must have been in college at that point. So I was far on my way to becoming the anarcho lefty pinko whatever that I am today. But I was like, why do you even need this? Why do you have this? What is this for? And it was just like, I don't know. But it's interesting too how the gun on the guy's belt recontextualized everything about him. Because it was like, Why are you wearing that shirt? Why are you wearing those jeans? The fit of his clothes and his body shape, like, suddenly, like, mattered to me so much more because he was wearing a gun.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I don't know, I tend not to think about how people look. Strangers. I feel like I've done a pretty good job conditioning myself away from judging people like that. But in that instance, it was like his hat down to his shoes. Like, I needed to like know more about him. And maybe that's the point of the gun, right? This is kind of what the book talks about too, is that like him having the gun made him so much more important, even if I didn't have anything positive to think about him at that time.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely doesn't make you want to interrogate him, you know, in mm-hmm. a real way. Like, you're not going to go up and talk to that guy, probably.
Mm-hmm. No.
And you know, like, which is interesting. I don't know. That's funny to imagine, because it's like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't want to judge somebody either. And if anything, in my mind, I'm like immediately trying to think of like, well, you know, this person you're talking about, maybe they have, you know, they probably have, you know, they're an individual, unique person with experiences or whatever that led them to that. I'm sure that is like probably crossed over with some like sociopolitical things that like led them to that. That is in a, you know, they believe in a way that is aligns with a certain kind of person. But there's probably some unique stuff about them, and like, but would be maybe difficult to like approach them at that Chipotle and be like, "What do you got that? What's this?" Like, you know, like, and to not come across as aggressive in a way that would maybe make their heart race that could endanger everybody in that Chipotle, you know, like,
right.
You know? But, yeah, I don't know. I remember being also in college and seeing somebody at a grocery store. I think the same grocery store that's like in the story about the box wine and the pickles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Guy who looked like a college guy, like I would say, like if he wasn't wearing a gun, would look more or less like me or anybody who is like a slightly, I don't know, just hoodie, jeans, you know, kind of vibe. And but yeah, it was just like, yeah, just you be why? Yeah, why do you do that? Well, this is a question I'll have for you, because you know, anarcho leftist pinko kind of person. What do you feel about like anarchists, leftists? What are those people who are like? There is a group of people who are very much into like weaponizing, and how do you align with that? Yeah, if it's you know, I know that's maybe outside of this, but that's a big thing I thought about a lot, where it's like there is an argument coming from this other side. It seems to be pro, and I don't know if you would even call that pro gun, but pro mm-hmm. weaponizing.
You know? Yeah. You know, right. What I support or don't support kind of has less to do with what I would do, right? For various reasons, I do not and cannot own a gun, right? My past mental health history, I got a child. Right. In Michigan, those parents were just convicted of involuntary manslaughter because their kid brought a gun to school. Yeah, that was across. That was on the other side of the state. It was in Detroit. And yeah, they just both the father of that guy, of that kid, was just convicted. The jury like took no time at all to be like, yep, four counts of involuntary manslaughter and whatever other extra things. I think that if you are going to try to have a revolution, you're going to need help that a gun can't give you. We got predator drones and all kinds of psyops and whatever, right? So from a Second Amendment perspective, I appreciate it. I like the enthusiasm, but it's just not going to work. You know, like Waco and Killdozer have showed us that, like, you can't just barricade yourself in your house and be like, come and take it. Like, that's a suicide mission. I think that, you know, I'll like an Instagram post that says something like arm trans people. And, you know, I appreciate that sentiment. I tend to not want people to put themselves in danger unnecessarily, but I also understand that, you know, for lots of marginalized groups of which I am not a part, existing in public is putting yourself in danger. So, like, you know, from, like, it's complicated because you tend to think tactically on, like, the broader culture war thing too, where it's like, okay, yeah, it's a group of trans women walking down the street with AR-15s, like, that sends a message. But is that sending a message that's going to move us in the right direction, where the right direction is you being able to live more peaceful lives? I don't know, but I'm also not going to prescribe because, again, I'm too far away from that. So, like, I'm certainly not the type of left-leaning person who's like, guns are bad, only pacifism. But I am also the type of left-leaning person who's like, I don't want anyone to die and I want everyone to have a better life. Yeah. So, you know, you certainly aren't going to see me with a Socialist Rifle Association bumper sticker or anything, even if I don't, like, completely disagree with that idea. Especially because, you know, I think you look at things from the Second Amendment perspective of, like, you know, we're fighting against the government, and that seems a little bit hopeless, but you think about, like, I don't know, Proud Boys, are they even a thing anymore? Do we have to worry about Proud Boys? It kind of seems like a lot of those guys went to jail and now we don't have to worry. But, like, I don't know, you have, like, Patriot Front and all kinds of weirdo cosplayers. That, like, yeah, I don't know, in some sort of urban environment where those guys are doing something ridiculous, it would, you know, make sense that there's a group of people on the other side who are just as, if not more, prepared for them to do something ridiculous. But I also know that I'm not going to be anywhere near that situation.
Yeah, I feel like I'm, no notes on that take, really. I feel like I'm very similar, like, you know, I think I talk about it in the book where, or maybe I hint at it that, like, yeah, having a gun would not, it would only really put myself in danger.
You froze up.
Mental health or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I was saying, like, having a gun, you know, for me would just put me in a, like, the real in my house kind of thing, would put me in, only myself, you know, in danger, you know, for, like, because of, like, mental health reasons and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, yeah, I mean, it sometimes feels, and I guess maybe only, I think part of the, the idea of the book is like leaning into that kind of idea. I'm not trans, but I guess it would be like aligning with that same kind of like metaphor, symbol, you know, the gesture, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, through writing it, it does feel like, or at least to me, it would feel like I would be cosplaying, even if I leaned into this kind of thing that maybe aligned with more of my politics or whatever. Because mm-hmm. that would be like, well, I don't know. It still just is, yeah, like you're saying, like, at the end of the day, what do you think you will do if you have that? Like, what do you think will happen if that happens? Is it not just a way for you to feel, to look a little bit more threatening in like a material way or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then maybe that's like why at the end of the day, it is just a book, I brought up the thing. I'm not, you know,
sure.
brought up the conversation, but, that's like, yeah, it's like, yeah. What, at the end of the day, maybe I can like walk away from it a little bit easier, even though I'm kind of forcing myself to have these discussions, to be like, well, it's a book, you know, I don't really know. And what can writing do, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's maybe.
Yeah. You know, and I think that is, part of why we write, right? Like trying to figure it out. And then sometimes you just realize that you can't figure it out. And I think putting that in writing makes, I don't know, like it almost makes you take literature more seriously, because so often, at least in the time period in which I grew up, right, it kind of felt like there was this culture of like reading superiority, where it's like, this is where you're going to find the answers between the covers of a book. And so it is nice to every once in a while have a book just be like, I don't know, man, it's real uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, we worked through it and it's still uncomfortable. And I mean, like, I don't know, like everyone's telling everybody else to go to therapy. And that's what a whole lot of therapy is like, at least in my experience, it's like, yeah, you talked about it, man. You're going to have to just figure out a way to be okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like I don't know. A lot of it gets into like very like kind of like black-pilled, like mentality, where like I you know, you just like, yeah, well, you just kind of like, you know what it, the, you know what the situation is, and you know like maybe how things work, but you know, hopefully trying to find some hope in some other small things, not even about this, but just about life in general or things in general, just being like, well, this can change, this cannot change, maybe. I'm talking about writing at large, not my own thing. If something is impactful, even just emotionally, or just like pulls somebody towards creating something that expresses themselves, they can have an inner type of peace or even just a purpose. I don't know. If I was going to say like what feels good about it to me, it's like I wouldn't want, feels less interesting to think about legislation or like, you know, and I don't, not to say it's like if something came up, whatever, I would be like, I'm whatever, that sucks, but just like that's maybe not where my like intentions are, because I don't know, I don't have hope in it, but then also, you know, maybe I'm not the best person for it. But I don't know, you know, like, I think there are people who are like writers who do that, though, who definitely care about that stuff. Like, you know, that's their goal, you know. They can do that. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe it is just because it's like, it's for me feeling, or for both of us, since you kind of said the same thing, it's just feeling like, you know, this is something for fun. And if I turn it into work, or if I try to be like too big about it, or too like, self-important, then it's more easy to maybe critique, or to like find flaws in it, or just kind of would like maybe suck. I don't know. I think maybe it could like, it's just because no, I think that like, if you act like, well, because I have a position and because that is like right and correct, then it's that seems like coming to art in a certitude rather than like a inquiry is maybe a bad reason to start making something.